Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The U.S. Supreme Court dodges the Obamacare abortion and contraceptive mandate. They've sent all of the cases back down to the federal courts of appeal for further consideration. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. You know, without Justice Scalia on the bench, it obviously could have been a 4-4 decision. We don't know why the Supreme Court punted on this, but obviously what the Supreme Court is doing is putting this off for another day, kicking the can down the road, if you will. They have sent all of the cases, including the Little Sisters of the Poor case, back down to the federal courts of appeal to see whether the parties can work out a compromise between, on the one hand, protecting religious freedom, and on the other hand, providing free contraception, which includes these abortion-inducing drugs and devices. So this case is still ongoing.
Yeah, Matt, let me speculate here a little bit. I just have a sense, and again, this is speculation, but based on his previous rulings, Justice Kennedy has shown for all of his, the horrible decision in Obergefell and some of his so-called gay rights decisions on religious liberty. At least he has gotten it right, or at least close to right on more than one occasion. I wonder if he is still a little bit reticent about letting the government compel people against their conscience and First Amendment rights to engage in abortion or things that on their face violate Christianity and their religious freedom. So I wonder if it was a 5-3 leaning decision and they punted it back to try to find a compromise. Again, that's just speculation, but I don't think it's completely off base.
Yeah, clarify it for us because, I mean, the lower courts already had judged this decision earlier. So now they're just putting it back. You know, how does this work?
Yeah, there's a number of lower court decisions, federal court of appeals, and they went different ways. They split. I think more likely what you might have is a 4-4 split. And instead of just sending it back with no decision, what that would do is it would remain a conflict. Because, again, you've got multiple cases in multiple federal courts of appeal coming to different opinions on the same issue. So if they ultimately said there's a 4-4 split and they're sending it back to do what? It's going to come right back to them again because, again, they're going to file another petition and there's a split in the circuits. They've got to resolve the split in the circuits. The problem is I don't think they had the fifth vote to do it. If Scalia were there, I'm sure they would have had that fifth vote and it would likely have come out as a 5-4 decision. Just like the original Obamacare case, 5-4, it would have come out as a 5-4 decision against the government. But without Scalia there, it's a 4-4 split. So what do? Send it back? That doesn't work. So they're going to send it back with the idea that, hey, listen, the four people over here, they want to provide contraception and abortion-inducing drugs and devices. The other four people on this side of the court, they want to be able to accommodate religious freedom. So that's kind of symbolizing the split on the court, religious freedom versus providing these free contraceptions and abortion-inducing drugs and devices. So let's set it back, kick the can down the road. We're not coming to zero decision. We're just saying, you guys at the various courts of appeal, work it out. Number one, to the federal government. Work it out to try to accommodate the religious beliefs of those who are objecting. And number two, to the employers and insurance companies, work it out so that the employees can still get free contraception, drugs, and devices. Now, how do they do that? The problem that you have here is a matter of timing. Because currently, like, let's take the Little Sisters of the Poor as a practical example. The Little Sisters of the Poor sign up for insurance, and at that point in time, under the Obamacare law, they cannot object to the provision of these drugs. But once they get the insurance, then they can file an objection to the federal government, and then the objection is presented and heard. The Little Sisters of the Poor gets accommodated, And then their insurance company provides what the employer does not want to provide. Well, for Little Sisters of the Poor, that's like saying, I don't want to provide these abortion-inducing drugs and devices and contraception, but I'm going to designate my duty and delegate it to some other entity that I'm contracting with. They didn't want to do that.
They'd still be complicit, right?
They'd still be complicit. I mean, so now what the question that was presented in the supplemental briefing by the court was, can they, instead of objecting after they sign up for coverage, object at the time that they actually engage in the coverage, just like you and I saying, we don't want this coverage, we want this coverage. Can they do that then? And it seems as though they could do that then if there was a compromise. But here's the rub. What happens if they make that objection known at the beginning? It doesn't mean that the employees don't get contraception, abortion-inducing drugs and devices. It means that they still get them. It's just that who pays for them? The insurance company. So it's essentially the same thing. It's just, when do you make that objection? After coverage or before coverage? And then the other problem is this. What happens to the employer who also is the self-insured, because every dollar that they pay comes directly from the employer? So how can they tell the left hand to pay for what the right hand doesn't want to pay for?
So what's going to happen, like with the Little Sisters of the Poor, because we know they're not going to compromise. They're not going to, you know, give out these devices to perform abortions.
Well, here's what could happen. This is just a hypothetical. The government could go back and say, okay, we're going to accommodate the religious beliefs of Little Sisters of the Poor. You can object at the time of coverage. Then we're going to shift the burden over to your insurance company, and they're going to have to pay for it, and we're going to give the insurance company some kind of subsidy from the federal government to cover the cost of this.
So they're still paying for it, in essence.
Yeah, they're still paying for it, and, their employees are still getting these drugs.
The taxpayers are paying for it in that case, and their taxpayers object, and that violates the Hyde Amendment. I mean, what a tangled web we weave here. Now, Matt, both sides here are couching this as a victory. The pro-life, some of the pro-lifers, the Beckett Fund and others are saying this is a big victory. The pro-aborts, I have seen many of them complaining about it, so it would seem that at least in some sense it favors them. By the way, I think your theory is absolutely right. My math was off the 4-4 split. Kennedy would have come down potentially on the other side of the 4 for religious liberty. But my question is this a victory? Is it a small victory? Is it moving in the right direction? How do you view it?
It's a victory only in this sense. Today, they don't have to provide abortion-inducing drugs and devices, and they don't have to get penalized. Tomorrow's the same thing, but it's going to play out differently at each one of these courts of appeal. And guess what? If there's someone who's unsatisfied, the government or one of these plaintiffs, it goes back to the United States Supreme Court. So it's kicked the can down the road. Today, they can still live another day to fight and do their ministry. But tomorrow, who knows? So we just don't know what the resolution is. The fact of the matter is, it's a no-brainer. The government doesn't have a compelling interest to require employers to provide contraception and abortion-inducing drugs and devices. Pure and simple. Religious liberty should have won the day with a hands-down vote. So, you know, the problem is we've got a very divided court on this issue, particularly one that's ideologically driven, and we don't have a fifth vote. And now we have something similar coming down with the union case, where they couldn't get the fifth vote. Scalia would have been the fifth vote to overturn these bad union decisions. Scalia would have been the fifth vote here to come down on the side of religious liberty. Two big, big, huge cases. And you can see the difference of not having a Scalia on the bench. All the more reason to appoint the right person to replace Justice Antonin Scalia next year when this new president, whoever that might be, is seated. So you can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, lc.org. We filed an amicus brief in this case on behalf of Little Sisters of the Poor, and Liberty Counsel was the very first lawsuit filed where we represented Liberty University and other private individuals against the Obamacare the very day that President Obama signed it into law. Our case was the first to be argued before a federal court of appeals, and the issue on the first of the 3 days of the original argument was our issue that we put before the court. So we're still involved in this issue, and we'll continue to be on the front line protecting religious freedom and the sanctity of human life. and you feel that your children are at risk, call us and let us know so we can represent you as well. You can go to lc.org or 407-875-1776. Remember Liberty Counsel in your prayers and your regular financial support. Go to lc.org for more information. You can sign up for our emails. Go down to the bottom of lc.org. You can also engage in Liberty Counsel through our online store and support Liberty Counsel with your regular financial contributions.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website is lc.org. Become an active partner with Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.